And actually, I think there's an analogy there where it's staffing companies that are our clients, and we have about 150 staffing clients. They usually come to us from somewhat frustrated from working with a general insurance agent who really doesn't understand the staffing business.
As an employer, your business depends on your staff. They are the backbone of your company. But because you face unique challenges managing your team, you need to have the right resources. On this podcast, industry expert Alex Atwood tackles it all so you don't have to.
Welcome to Off the Clock. Today, we have a 30-year staffing veteran who came from the telecommunications industry. His name's David Scheck. I've known him for over a decade. He actually started his first staffing business in the hospitality sector, which is where I'm from. So we have a lot in common, and I'm very excited to have David as a guest on Off the Clock today. How are you today, David?
Hey, Alex, I'm great. Thank you. That's a very nice introduction. I appreciate that.
Absolutely. It's great to see you. So tell me a little bit about how you got into staffing from the telecommunications industry. What was it that had you take this on?
Well, I really felt that I wanted to get into a helping industry where I was much more hands-on in terms of helping folks basically get a job, improve their life, perhaps do some training. And I felt in telecommunications, I was somewhat removed from folks who I could really impact their lives. So by getting into hospitality staffing, I was helping folks who were really making minimum wage or maybe a little bit above that. And by getting them a job, getting them a paycheck, helping them pay their bills, developing a relationship with them, I just felt really great. And, from there, it's been quite a journey, but I love it. And that's what I still do. I still try to help people.
That's amazing. Now, did you have experience working with hourly workers, or did you have experience in the hospitality industry before you got into this?
Good question. I did not have experience in either of those, which certainly was a handicap. My brother was a trained, educated chef, and that's how we got into the hospitality area. And he went to the Culinary Institute of America. He's a very fine chef now, pastry chef, and he knew all about the industry. So, coupled with my business background, we developed a hospitality staffing company.
Got it. And everything in hospitality these days has been completely upside down from where it was back then, obviously. When did you exit the staffing industry? Tell me a little bit about that. And tell me a little bit about what it was that has you in the role of what you're doing now. Like, where did you make the transition from being in the staffing industry to being somebody that's in service that helps the staffing industry?
So we started the staffing company in 1989, and we grew it to about 65 offices with about $30 million in sales, and we sold it in 2004, 2005. And the hospitality industry really changed a lot even before the last year and a half. It changed a lot back then. So when I sold it, I developed over the last 15 years this expertise in workers' comp and back office services. So I wanted to engage that, leverage that into helping more staffing companies, because I found that many staffing company owners I had spoken with over the years really did not have the expertise, which is natural since they got into staffing to do the recruiting, the staffing, same reasons I did. They wanted to help people.
Yeah.
But there's no reason that they had to not have an expert partner with them to make the best decisions for that back office, for their back office as they started and grew their company.
Did you find things change a lot during the tenure that you had in the staffing industry? Like, what did you see from 1989 when you entered that industry till 2004 when you had your exit? What kind of changes and did you see?
The biggest changes were, especially in hospitality, were the margins. And as larger companies like Marriott and Sodexo and Aramark and Compass Group started to buy their rivals, they were able to exert pricing pressure and pricing controls, and they really forced down the margins. So, of course, as any business, as the margins are reduced, the business becomes a lot less fun. So finally, the margins were so reduced that I decided it was time to exit. Regardless of the margins, I still like helping people. So I wanted to take that feeling that I get, that rewarding feeling that I get helping people, and I wanted to transmit or translate that into something else in the staffing industry.
That's amazing. So although the profits changed, the purpose didn't, right? I mean, the purpose in terms of helping people didn't.
Exactly. The same folks who were making minimum wage and a few dollars more, they still needed to get paychecks. They still needed really a friendly face, someone that they could relate to, someone who was empathetic to what they were going through. And frankly, the clients, even though they were the client's representatives on a local level, still needed quality staff. And they needed someone who understood their business. The margins may have changed, but everything else didn't. You know, the needs were still there on both sides, the client side and the temporary contractor side.
Absolutely. Well, we both know that the staffing industry is so nuanced. You're dealing with what the X factor is in any business, whether it's small or large, and it's people. People run businesses. That's just how it is. And in the staffing industry, you are now dealing in people. That is the business that you're in. So you have to be able to deal with the nuance. You have to be able to deal with the X factor, and you have to be able to run the business. You have to be able to put the operating systems in place and get the process in place and the technology and all of that. And most important, the people. So it sounds to me like you didn't go away from helping people. You just went away from the insides of working in the business and now starting to work into the industry, which I think is admirable. And that's honestly how we connected, me being someone in the staffing industry and you being someone who came from my exact niche and then went to go service companies like mine.
Right. And actually, I think there's an analogy there where it's staffing companies that are our clients, and we have about 150 staffing clients. They usually come to us from somewhat frustrated from working with a general insurance agent who really doesn't understand the staffing business. And they're very good agents, and they understand, the P&C part of the business and maybe the workers' comp in a very general sense. But because they've never worked in a staffing company, 99% of them, they really don't understand the nuances as you just mentioned. So I think on that level, when I start speaking with a potential client, they immediately understand that I've been in their shoes and I can understand and develop a solution for them that's much more appropriate for their particular stage or their particular niche in the staffing industry.
Absolutely. It's no longer a cognitive empathy. Now you're actually, you can truly empathize because you're in their world. You've been in their world. You understand what it's like to have people potentially in positions where they could be injured. You understand what it's like and how difficult it is when you have a funding company that potentially not as reliable as you'd like them to be. Partners, what I've learned, are everything in the staffing business, whether it's your partners like a company like yours, or whether it's, partners in potentially non-competitive other agencies you can develop partnerships with. So there's a very collaborative nature that I found in staffing. And you've been somebody that's been able to develop a lot of those partnerships for myself and for others throughout the industry. So anybody who's watching this or listening to this, David Scheck is somebody that is known in the industry as somebody who's an expert who understands things outside of just the competencies that he delivers with his current company. David Scheck it can help in all types of ways and really provide value that way. And I'm not trying to give you an advertisement, David. This has just been my experience with you. So thank you for that. So let's pivot a bit over to Workman's Comp Solutions, because that's something in the staffing industry. It's always a moving target. It's something that is absolutely necessary when you're talking about employing people, specifically hourly people, where you run into situations where you need a strong Workman's Comp policy. So what type of solutions did you use for your firm, and what type of solutions are you recommending out these days for your clients?
Well, we used a variety of workers' comp solutions, and that's one of the reasons why I was able to learn so much about workers' comp and back office solutions. We used a professional employer organization for probably about 15,000 of our W-2s. We used an employer of record organization for about 5,000 W-2s. And then we used some state funds, and we also used some private carriers. So we used a broad variety, and we did it usually based on pricing, because we're in 35 different states. Each state has sometimes different pricing and also different SUTA, state unemployment. A good workers' comp consultant understands that part of the solution has to involve what the client is paying in state unemployment taxes, because the staffing client, staffing company isn't just concerned about the work comp price. They're concerned about the whole payroll burden. So all those elements have to be taken into account.
Absolutely. So in your current ecosystem, from what you're seeing, what's the most popular workman's comp solutions for the staffing companies these days?
Well, I would say for new staffing companies, about 80% of our new startups who call us, which is about 50% of our staffing clients, are going with an employer of record, mostly because they don't have the capital for the deposits that a state fund usually requires, especially if they're in light industrial codes or niches that will have high work comp rates and thus require a large deposit. So with a pay-as-you-go program, which is really the major benefit of an employer of record solution, a startup will usually go with that. The other 20%, if they have the capital, will go with the state fund. We, for instance, have a prospect in California. They have a private policy. They've been in business for 20 years. They're about a $6 or $7 million account. And because of California, very arduous and onerous employment regulations, they don't want to be an employer anymore. So they're shopping for an employer of record solution. So they just will recruit staff and bill their clients, and they are not going to be the employer anymore. So there you have a company that certainly has the capital for a private carrier and deposit requirements, but because they want to get away from all the liabilities or 99% of the liabilities of being an employer, they're looking at an EOR. And then between those, we also have a good number of professional employer organization clients who want to be in a co-employer relationship. And then, of course, we have companies that qualify. They have to be in business for at least 3 years for a private insurance solution.
Got it. So this has always been something that's confused me. What's the main difference between a PEO and an EOR?
Functional. Okay. No, it confuses many, many, many people. Functionally, it's very, very similar. They both do your back office and they both provide work comp to the employees. Statutorily, though, in terms of who's legally responsible for the employee, with a PEO relationship, it's both the PEO and the staffing company. In an EOR relationship, statutorily, the employees are 100% the EORs. So there's a lot less liability to the staffing company by using an EOR. The downside to an EOR, if you will, is that the staffing company has to use the state tax rate. So if a staffing company has a very low unemployment rate, they may save a point or two by using a PEO, which allows you to use the client's unemployment rate, versus with the EOR, usually it's a point or two higher than the staffing client's. That's the main price difference.
I see. And so the liability is greatly mitigated on both of these, but it sounds like an EOR is something that's becoming more and more popular, yes?
It is. Then there's also a concern with the EOR sometimes with the certificates of insurance or COIs. If the staffing company is dealing with the government, usually the government will not accept, or I should say about 50% of the time, they will not accept a COI from an employer of record. They will want the employer to be the staffing company. So in that case, an EOR will not work, or at least will not work for the government clients of that staffing company. So sometimes they'll use a couple solutions like we did. Right. We used an EOR as well as a PEO and the state fund, depending on what clients we were navigating or what clients we were working with.
Got it. So it sounds like there's always something new in the ecosystem, or there's always a benefit to being able to access and leverage all of these different tools so that you can sort of navigate in the very multi-dynamic world of staffing.
It is. And it's also, I think, the reason why we do so much business is because these issues, which are really germane to staffing companies, are really outside the usual realm of staffing of insurance agents who are generalists. And they try to approach the staffing client in all earnestness, and they try to do a great job, but they just don't have this experience and knowledge of the variety of solutions and how to use these solutions to best advantage their staffing company client. So it's not unusual that we get calls from prospects who have just hung up with a generalist, and they are really frustrated. And they know that the generalist is trying to do his or her best, but they need to talk to someone who's been in the staffing work comp world for many years.
Yeah, there's a lot of value there. And I happen to know a lot of the services you provide just add value. You're somebody that really likes to add value in every conversation. And I've seen many times when you've done things and you know, you haven't really asked for any compensation. And so that really shows that you're somebody that actually cares about the industry and cares about the people industry in the industry. Any new staffing insurance services, any new staffing services in your ecosystem right now that you're offering that maybe some listeners or some people watching the video would be interested in learning about?
Well, one option that many people don't know that's out there is using a PEO for their work comp only. So a lot of people who, and I know this will just further confuse you, Alex, so I apologize, because I just finished saying that. I said further confuse you. Well, I just finished saying that an EOR and a PEO does the same things functionally. Now I'm about to tell you that we do have a relationship with the PEO where they will just do your work comp and let the staffing company do all the payroll administration, tax filing. So that's even a different type of solution. So for qualifying staffing companies, they can sign up with this PEO, just use their work comp, but do all the payroll. They could still use ADP if they're using ADP or paychecks for a payroll company, or they could do it in-house. They could do the payroll, or if they have a outsized human resource department in-house and they don't want to, they've invested in training their HR area, so they don't want to, you know, diminish that. They'll just sign up with this PEO for their work comp. So again, there's really a variety of solutions. You're asking good questions. I'm giving you probably more information than you wanted to know, but that's what it is.
Yeah. Well, you know, at the end of this podcast, you can give your information out because it sounds to me like people can call you and they can get a whole myriad of answers to questions they might have. So here's the obligatory question. Okay. What has the pandemic taught you, and, you know, either taught you in general, or maybe has impacted Lee's staff, you know, specifically, where have you seen the biggest impact on your company, your clients?
Well, we've been blessed, you know, when COVID started back in March 2020, you know, we thought, like most of the staffing industry, we were really going to take a reduction in our sales. And because, as it's turned out, blissfully, because we're so diversified that we have clients that we have about 30% of our business is in medical staffing, and that's been growing significantly. Light industrial is about 50%. Technical and clerical is usually the rest. Because we're very well diversified, our sales only decreased by almost less than 8% from 2019, which was a banner year for us, and 2020. So, and now, you know, on a first quarter basis for 2021, you know, we're back up there and growing. So one thing that it has taught us is that, my humble opinion, you really have to have a diversified client base and niche base in order to sustain yourself during these very cyclical, and staffing is a very cyclical business, during these cycles that staffing goes through.
Yeah, absolutely. On your customer's end, have you seen a lot of COVID come through some of your customers? Have you seen COVID have an impact on some of them? Obviously, the hospitality side had an impact. I mean, there's no doubt about that. But outside of that, any specific COVID claims or anything that you've seen that might shed some insight?
You know, we really thought that back in March of 2020, that comp rates were going to go through the roof as a result of COVID claims. It just seemed like a logical extension of where the claims were heading. But it's turned out that the insurance companies are denying about 99% of any COVID claims because of their justification is that it's difficult to impossible to prove that COVID was by the employee, that COVID was the employee picked up COVID during at the work site. And for a work comp claim, the accident, if you will, or the illness has to occur at the work site. You know, it's impossible to really prove that. Even medical staffing, where you would think frontline workers would have sort of the best justification for claiming it, it's just not happening. So we have not seen any increase in work comp claims, actually, and even the claims that have come through have, for the most part, been denied. And we have not seen an increase in work comp claims. The other thing, though, to be sensitive to is that unemployment rates, of course, have gone through the roof. And I suspect in 2021, 2022, like in 2010 and 11, when we went through the 2008 and 9 recession, SUTA rates are going to increase. And when you start thinking about alternatives like PEO and EOR solutions, they may become more economically viable because many staffing companies' SUTA rates are going to go up significantly.
Wow, that's so informative, David. Thank you so much for that. Here's the last question I have for you. What is your intention for 2021 for Lee staff, your career? Just give us an idea of what you see the future for you, specifically 2021 and beyond.
Well, I know this probably sounds trite, and you probably have heard it from other people, but I love what I'm doing. You know, I'm 62. I know I look old.
You look a day over 40.
But yeah, you know our kids, so I try to stay young. But I love what I'm doing, and I really plan on doing it for another 15, 20 years. It's just something that I still get, you know, a great feeling helping clients and helping them find solutions, easing their frustration. And we both know, Alex, staffing is a hard business. You know, you have to deal with clients who aren't always happy. You always have to deal with employees trying to keep them happy so they do a good job for you. So my clients are having a tough job. And if I could be a little bit of an oasis of empathy for them, then, you know, I feel great about that. Yeah. So I really don't see anything other than continuing to do Lee staff work comp solutions. And maybe in 15, 20 years, I'll find someone younger and who wants to take over. But that's about it.
Yeah. Well, maybe it'll be one of your kids.
Okay. We'll see, Alex.
I say that in jest.
We'll see. Maybe one of your kids.
Oh, maybe. I don't know. They're not crazy. Look, it's something in our DNA. And I don't know that it's actually passed along, but there's something in our DNA when we get into this business and we stay in this business.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's like the Sopranos thing. You know, you get in and you just can't get out. Right.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, David. So how can someone get in touch with you? So an operator, an owner, a manager, somebody who's interested in learning more about Lee staff, how can they find you?
They can literally just call me on my phone, my cell phone, 202-302-1212. I've had that number forever. And, you know, it's funny. Sometimes people will call me during the week and they'll say, you know, I'm really jammed up. I can't. The only time I have free to chat is on the weekends. And you probably don't work on the weekends. And I'm saying, I'm in staffing too. So, you know, anyone in staffing, if you're not working 7 days a week, you know, you're doing something else in your life.
You're not in staffing.
So being in staffing, I'm available 7 days a week. And, you know, I enjoy getting calls from people. I've got some of my best clients calling up Saturday afternoon. Yeah. And, you know, they'll first start by saying, oh, I'm so sorry to call you. I'm so sorry to call you. And, you know, I'm here to help them. So it's good.
Yeah, I will validate that. You're one of the few people that doesn't send a calendar link to me, that doesn't try and anytime I ask you, hey, when are you available? You say, I'll make time around when you're available. So I acknowledge you for that. You've always done that. And I want to thank you for being on this week's podcast for Off the Clock. I really enjoyed talking to David Scheck about his business, Lee Staff. For more about David Scheck or more about Lee Staff, go to www.leestaff.com. You can catch my podcast on YouTube, Apple, and anywhere that you listen to podcasts. Until next time, be kind and thrive.
You've been listening to Off the Clock.
Thank you for tuning in to Off the Clock. Don't miss next week's tips around innovation and HR. Subscribe to the show. You can catch us on YouTube, Apple, iHeart, Stitcher, Spotify, wherever you listen to podcasts. Until next time, be kind and thrive.